Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, brought to you by SeatGeek. I'm your host, DJ Foster. Man, what that game? How about that game? Clippers win 121-120 over Portland in just a game they lost complete control. Just went totally off the rails with about 5 minutes left. All of the crazy things started happening all at once. The refs. Now, okay, I don't normally complain about refs, because I feel like it's really probably not why you're here, you know, for this podcast. You don't want to hear me just complaining about referees and the calls they make, and I say this with the caveat that I think NBA refs are some of the best professional sport refs out of any professional sport. Like, NBA refs compared to NFL refs, it's so much better. And normally they do a pretty good job, and even when they don't do a good job, you know, it tends to balance out over time. Tonight, down the stretch, some of the calls that the refs made, and both ways, too. I don't think it was overly biased, but just blown missed calls all over the place. There was the really bad call on J.J. Redick's three-pointer, where he kind of had his arms explode and kicked out his leg and got hit. And Terry Stotts got teed up on that. That was really the turning point in the game. That technical foul that Terry Stotts got for arguing that call. J.J. Redick steps to the line, knocks down four free throws. And the Clippers break the law. Portland hit 100 first, and the Clippers beat Lawler's law. That one was a crazy call going against Portland. But so many other ones. 2 minutes and 2 seconds, the Blazers intentionally fouled DeAndre Jordan when he's the inbounder, which is illegal. It should have been a free throw and then two more free throws, because you can't do that. You can't foul the inbound passer, and that's exactly what they did. DeAndre hadn't even stepped on the court, so that's a foul. That's a technical foul. Missed that. There was another play down the stretch where J.J. Redick literally looked like C.J. McCollum was doing, like, strength training, like parachute training with J.J. Redick, just pulling down the back of his jersey that made Wes Johnson throw a pass that missed it. Blake Griffin dives on the ball, gets hit in the face, and slides about 9 feet with the basketball until he ends up out of bounds. Again, got hit in the face, but also slid with the basketball 9 feet, which is not a thing that you can do. It's a traveling violation. There was that. There was some just questionable calls all over the place. I'm having a hard time, you know, remembering all of them, because I just kept thinking, wow, this game is going to get crazier and crazier. The pass, the late inbounds pass, where I think it was, no, it wasn't Turner because he got ejected. It's probably Harkless, I think, came in and knocked it out of bounds, went all the way through Blake's arm, just jumped up, took him out completely. No call. It was just chaos down the stretch, but give the Clippers credit. Even with that happening and in a situation where we've seen them kind of melt down with the refs before, They actually got the better side of the meltdown. Again, that four-point play was huge. Clippers end up winning by 1 point, 121-120. DeAndre Jordan ejected for a little tussle with Evan Turner after a foul on Damian Lillard. Evan Turner was walking to go pick up Damian Lillard and made sure DeAndre knew about it. Gave him a little shoulder bump. DeAndre didn't really appreciate that. Came back and using his 97-inch arms, got a finger in Evan Turner's face, which Evan didn't appreciate very much. Started knocking away his hand. It was a very... I was watching it with my brother-in-law, which still sounds weird to say. My brother-in-law, and he was just talking about how different the NBA used to be. Like, that was, you know, the 80s, or even, like, Ben Wallace, and something like that happened. How they used to just kind of, like, let them go. Like, refs would never really hop in between guys. In the 90s and the 2000s, they would. But in, like, the 80s, it was just kind of like, if you wanted to scrap, you got to scrap. And forget about it, in the 60s and 70s, you would have guys full-on sprinting up the court to knock each other out. Which is good that they can't do that anymore. The whole Rudy Tomjanovich losing his brain for a year. It's good that things like that don't happen. Kermit Washington incidents. But I do think sometimes it... And this is a terrible take, and I realize this. Sometimes I wish that we would kind of see these guys get let go a little bit. Like, is Evan Turner really going to step to DeAndre Jordan? Like, in any... If they're out on a park or they're out somewhere else where they know that, you know, a bunch of guys and refs and all this and coaches won't get in between them, like, is it really going to get that heated? Now, some guys, I think, yeah, it would get that heated no matter what. Like, Chris Paul would fight a 7-foot guy. I'm 1,000% sure of it. Because he's a crazy person, which we've discussed. And by the way, I'm more convinced than ever that Chris Paul is a crazy person. Every interview he gives now, I'm just looking for signs that he's insane. DeAndre snuck up on him on an interview, I think it was two nights ago. It was after the 2020 game, yeah, after the Pelicans win. And DeAndre snuck up on him, made a joke, and Chris just had zero time for it. Also, the first player in Wesley Johnson's face after he took too long to realize J.J. Redick was open? Chris Paul. Wes had a big smile on his face because he realized that J.J. was wide open and he missed him for the first few seconds. And he was laughing and he was smiling. And then you saw Chris Paul's little head come into your picture on the broadcast. Chris just comes like moseying into your picture. And you just slowly saw Wes Johnson's smile fade as Chris Paul gave him a little talking to. Whew. Chris is insane. He's genuinely insane. I don't think it's necessarily fun to play with Chris Paul. It's fun if you like wide open shots and stats and easy dunks at the rim. That part's fun. But making a mistake around Chris Paul sounds like the worst case scenario. I would have, personally, I would have a really bad time with somebody like that. Because I don't know if you guys are the same that are listening, but once I make one mistake, the mistake's just like, it's just like a shower of errors. It's just one mistake and I lose my confidence and things just go downhill. I'll give you a few examples. When I was in fifth grade, it was my first time riding a go-kart. It was at the Family Fun Center, also now known as Boomers. I still call it the Family Fun Center because I'm old school like that. I got to race go-karts, and man, this is very exciting for me. I had never driven a car or a cart that goes. So, super exciting moment. Didn't know that you don't drive with 2 feet. I thought, you know, there's a brake pedal, there's a gas pedal. I have a left foot, I have a right foot. One goes on the gas, one goes on the brake. No problem. Apparently that's not how you drive. I don't drive like that anymore because that would be weird. But anyways, we're going around go-karts and racing. I'm having a good time. This is fun. I'm driving. Somebody stops in front of me because we're done going around in circles, and I go to hit the brake, but I'm very confused, and I hit the gas, and the gas goes, it's okay, I still have time to correct my error, but now I'm freaked out because I got a result, I made a mistake, and I hit the gas even more, and I just kind of swerve out of the way, and I totally ram into this girl in my class, and that was the day that I got banned from go-karts. Everyone else got to do another one of go-karts. They thought I did it on purpose, and I got banned from go-karts. And I've never ridden a go-kart again. I'm horrified. The thought of getting in a go-kart terrifies me now, and that's why I couldn't play with Chris Paul. What a roundabout way to get where I wanted. Hey, are you guys enjoying me talking about my fifth grade go-kart experiences? Well, if you'd like to do something else other than listening to me talk about my fifth grade go-kart experiences, how about you go to a Los Angeles Clippers game via SeatGeek? The NBA season is back. SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, club seats, or upper level. I have the SeatGeek app. I don't make the mistake of not having the SeatGeek app. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats for this weekend or any game this season. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek always finds you the lowest available price. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. That's as many percentages as you can get. Best of all, my listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's all you got to do. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code LOCLIPPERS, that's LOCLIPPERS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LOCLIPPERS today. All right. Should we talk about this game a little bit more? I know I complained about the refs a little bit. But the Clippers did a good job. Knocked down all their free throws. 26 to 28 tonight. It helps when all your best free throw shooters are shooting. But JJ Redick, 8 for 8 from the line. It's a good job by the Clippers kind of icing a game that could have got kooky. Also, great job by Doc Rivers fouling with 7, 8 seconds left. Up 3. The Blazers didn't have any timeouts. It came back to bite them. They ran out of time towards the end. Got in a situation where the Clippers were in the spot to ice the clock, to call timeout, to advance the ball to half court. It got a little crazy, but you inbound, you salt the game away. You didn't give Portland a chance to tie it. I love fouling up three. I'm a huge fan of it. I realize it doesn't always work out, and you look really stupid when it doesn't work out, but I think you can trust Maurice Spates and Blake Griffin to secure a defensive rebound, and you just eliminate the chance for a guy like Damian Lillard, who had just come off hitting a clutch three to make it a close game, to make it a one-point game. You don't give him a chance. You take the ball out of his hands. You trust your free throw shooters on a night you're shooting 26-28. Clippers have some of the best free throw shooters in basketball. Chris Paul, JJ Redick. You can sub in Jamal Crawford. He's excellent as well. You get one of those guys the ball, and you play the foul game. Especially when a team has no timeouts. Getting the ball up the length of a court and getting a quality shot, it's really tough. Really, really tough. Terry Stotts is a killer in those sideline out-of-bounds situations. He's had multiple plays this year where he's drawn up either plays to get the tie, plays to get the win. The lob play that he drew up early in the season, I think it was against Dallas, was a gem. I mean, he's really good at those sidelines out of bounds plays, but by fouling and them having no timeouts, you kind of take away those options. Some big mistakes by Stotts down the stretch. That technical was huge. I understand why he was upset, but that's big when your team's up late in the fourth quarter. And then using the timeout once they saw how the Clippers were defending the inbound pass. Didn't like that one either. That's your last timeout. you got to hang on to that. And in a game where you're behind, you got to cherish that last time out. I think they realized that as soon as Myers Leonard stepped into the play, Blake was going to foul. And not intentionally a foul, but foul in a way that looked like it was part of the play, if that makes any sense. That's what it looked like to me was happening. I don't know if he just didn't like the defensive set that the Clippers were in, didn't like how they were defending it, was expecting something else. But to burn your last time out in that situation, I don't know. That Doc outcoached Stotts down the stretch. The last 5 minutes, Doc kind of did a lot of the right things. Not so much for Stotts in Portland. What a nice little rivalry this has become. These teams really don't like each other. Blake looked like he was in the next Rocky movie tonight. The little cut on his eye. Got the weird little nose lip band-aid going on. Also appears he's working on some sort of mustache, which only made his face look worse, as all mustaches tend to do. Crazy, crazy night. Real back and forth game, but the Clippers, this is the last time they're playing Portland in the regular season. They sweep season series. Well done, Clippies. That's a good way to put out a rival. Portland's only 12-14. It's possible, though. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up somehow sneaking in and we get a 2-7 series between these two teams. I think if you're the Clippers, you'll gladly accept a chance to exercise some playoff demons and take on a team that they've handled, I wouldn't say easily. First game is a blowout. But a team, you beat them 3-0 in the regular season series, I think you're feeling pretty good if you match up with them in the playoffs. I don't know that Clippers fans should root for Portland as a potential playoff foe, but if we're looking at, like, let's see, in that 7th seed, if we're looking at Utah or Portland, yeah, Portland all day. Man, who else would be in that 7? Oklahoma City? I think I'd rather play Portland than Oklahoma City, honestly. Memphis is hot, 17-8, currently the 5th seed. Memphis or Portland, that's a tough one. Curious to hear what you guys think about that. I think I would rather play Portland. Depends if Memphis is fully healthy, but defensively, you know, Memphis will beat you up, grind you out. We've seen that plenty of times from the Clippers before. They escape a Grizzlies series, and they're just not the same the rest of the playoffs because those guys just bang on you and grind you. And we saw earlier this year, Memphis gave the Clippers a tough loss. Marc Gasol, with his spacing, his passing, his shooting from the top of the key, gave the Clippers a lot of trouble. So I think I would rather play Portland. So even if you are a Clippers fan and you're upset with how Portland played with all the grabbing and some of the dirtiness and scratching and all that, it's time to turn into a Portland fan, I think. Because that's a team you don't mind the Clippers matching up with in the first round. Let's take some questions so I can stop talking to myself. Let's see here. I put the call out on Twitter. Toby James says, I know your shtick is being cool, calm, and collected. Is it? That's why I asked him. I replied back. I said, I have a shtick? Cool, calm, and collected? I don't think anyone has ever called me cool. Collected, no. Calm, probably, yeah. Guess I'm calm. But if you don't sound off on the refs next pod, we're done. Well, Toby, you're stuck with me, bud. Because the refs were terrible tonight. Sean Hyken, famous writer Sean Hyken of the internet, asks, I want a deep dive into Diamond Stone's Metallica fandom. I told him that Dan Wojcicki is the guy for that. I'm sorry, I don't know Metallica songs, which might be disappointing to some of you Metallica / Clipper fans. Is that a big fan base? Is there like, if you do one of those graph thingies, what are those called? You know what those are called. Pentagraphs. Pentagons. If you do one of those, I don't know if there's a lot of crossover between Clippers fans and Metallica fans, but Diamond Stone is apparently a big Metallica fan, and Dan Wojcicki is going to be on the case. So, Sean, you don't have to listen to this podcast. Anthony Irwin asks if the thing that Mark Rogondino did with his hand was appropriate. The answer was no. You can check my Twitter account for more information on that. Clippers asks, at the 2:02 mark in the final quarter, DeAndre was inbounding the ball and he was fouled. Isn't that free throw plus the ball? It sure is, but the refs missed a lot down the stretch. Can you imagine if there wasn't official review? Do you ever think about that? What's the league look like without official review? It feels like it was a long time ago. But remember when there was no, they wouldn't go to the video? And it was just whatever the ref called? How many mistakes were made? Because so many of these calls get reversed. Not all of them. It's probably like down the stretch in the last like 2 minutes, it's probably like 35-40% of them get reversed. That's a lot though. I'd be curious to see if anyone keeps that stats. I know the league does the minutes thing, the last 2 minutes where they, any mistakes that came out, they issue a report. I'd be curious to see how many official reviews in the last 2 minutes for like balls out of bounds get reversed. I think it's got to be at least like 25%, which is a lot. That's a lot of calls. John Paul Manahan, it was Star Wars night at Staples Center. He asked if I have any Rogue One Star Wars related stuff for the podcast. I'm a big Star Wars fan. Let me clarify that. I don't know like all the backstory stuff and like all the like spin-off books and all that. Like I'm not really like well versed in the Star Wars universe. But I love the movies. I really liked the one that came out last year, Force Awakens. A lot of people and a lot of my friends said they were basically saying like, oh, it's just a ripoff of the first one. It's the same exact movie. And yeah, there's a lot of obvious parallels. But I don't mind them going safe with the first one and going with a formula that they know everyone would like and like kind of playing on nostalgia. I'm fine with that. I like callbacks to things. I just watched Creed and had a great time pointing out the turtles that are Rocky's turtles and seeing, oh, that's where he fought Tommy Gunn and like all these little like callbacks. I love those. That's great. I love the original movies. Why wouldn't I like callbacks to the original? I'm a very nostalgic person at heart, so I really like the Star Wars movies when they make callbacks, but I'm very excited for Rogue One because it seems like it's a little darker, maybe like a little edgier. I think it doesn't have a happy ending, which I like when the best Star Wars movie of all time is Empire Strikes Back. The second one doesn't have a happy ending. It's very bleak and grim and dark. I have a feeling Rogue One is going to be a lot like that. And so I'm very, very excited. I'm going to geek out hard for that. Nick Flint, my boy. Yes, if Paul Pierce is the truth, who is the falsehood? I would say Paul Pierce is the falsehood and also the truth at the same time. Truth is in the eye of the beholder, Nick. What is true for one man may be false for another. To that same man, a truth can quickly become a falsehood. I want you to think about that, Nick. I want you to really meditate on that. No, I think the honest answer, though, is if Paul Pierce is the truth, the falsehood is probably like Dion Waiters. I don't like Dion Waiters. I don't know what it is. I don't know why he bugs me so much. Maybe it's that he was supposed to be really good, and some people still think he's good, and he's still in the NBA. I don't know how. Lane, J3, my favorite Jazz fan who listens to the show, other than David Locke. Cage match, DeAndre Jordan versus Miles Turner. Who wins? Now, I had to ask Lane if this was a death match or a wrestling match, because that's a big swing. It's a huge swing, as a matter of fact. Because death match, I think Miles Turner might win. I don't know that DeAndre Jordan has it in him to murder a man. I think Miles Turner has a little bit more murder in him. I don't know. Miles has a little bit more edge, I think. But a wrestling match, I think DeAndre wins. His hair is kind of like Booker T's now. So I could see a spinning Rooney action, maybe the big axe kick. I'm taking DeAndre in a wrestling match. You heard it here first. That was it for Twitter questions today. Oh, someone asked me, Aditya asked me, used a word that I had to look up. Where was it? People making fun of Eric Gordon. Not okay. Here it is. Aditya says, this was the most farcical Clippers game since... Not including games like Oklahoma City and Utah last year where all the starters sit. Farcical, for those of you wondering, that's not a fart that freezes and hangs from your ceiling. Farcical means of or resembling a farce, especially because of absurd or ridiculous aspects. I would say my answer would be the last time the Clippers played in Memphis. Even though it wasn't crazy this year, that's my go-to for crazy games. Whenever the Clippers play in Memphis for some reason, crazy stuff happens. Do you remember the water main game where they had to evacuate the arena and they came back? There was the giant, I think it was, what was it, 26-point comeback in Memphis? There was a couple other things for a while there where every game in Memphis, something crazy, absolutely bananas was going to happen. So that's my answer. The last Memphis would be my answer, even though that's wrong. That's it for tonight's show. I'm done talking to myself now. We're going to have guests on later this week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. If you're a first-time listener, it's usually a little more organized than this, but you should keep listening anyway. Tell all your friends. I won't whisper like this in other shows. If you have questions for the show, you can tweet me at FoxSportsFoster. You can also email me, FosterDJ3@gmail.com. This whole podcast is in league review. We'll let you know about it way later than expected. Thank you guys for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast. We will be back later this week. Enjoy your evening.